Welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of Academia.edu, and as always, I'm glad you're joining me on this journey through the latest and sometimes the most challenging research floating around in the academic world. Today's episode is all about a paper by Ruku E. Anson called Te Potama Aura Framework Wairua Autophagy, Metabolizing Spiritual Wounding and False Beliefs. Quite a title, right? But trust me, there's a lot to unpack here, and I'll try to break it down into something that, you know, you can walk away with. Maybe even something helpful. First off, I just want to make it super clear. I'm here to present what the paper says, not to take sides or endorse its claims. This is all about sharing ideas, letting you reflect, and hey, asking more questions than I answer is actually part of the fun. So what's the core question? The heart of this paper is about, well, spiritual wounding, and more specifically, how can someone metabolize or process the spiritual wounds and false beliefs that result from things like religious trauma, the suppression of indigenous knowledge, and shame-driven disconnection from what the author calls authentic wairua, or spiritual connection. It's framed through a Maori lens, focusing on practices and frameworks rooted in te ao Maori, the Maori worldview, and why does this even matter, right? Well, the basic idea is that spiritual injuries and the inherited beliefs we carry can block people's well-being at a deep level. If you've ever felt like you're stuck between two belief systems, or like parts of your identity don't fit inside your faith framework, this paper's talking directly about that. Now, how does the paper approach this giant topic? It's actually the second dimension in a five-part healing framework called Te Potama Aura, or TPO. This particular piece, Wairua Autophagy, comes after something called Wakapapa Autophagy, which deals with clearing up relational legacies and family histories. The idea is you work on relationships first, because frankly, you can't do much spiritual work if you're drowning in relational chaos and shame. Interesting, huh? Wairua Autophagy is built around metabolizing spiritual wounding, especially wounds from colonial history, imposed Christianity, or religious practices that have been used for control or exclusion. There's this really vivid idea called the Wakapapa Dilemma. Basically, when your ancestry doesn't connect with the Abrahamic traditions, but colonial forces push a Christian framework on top of that, suddenly you're caught neither fully indigenous nor fully Christian, and that creates this sense of being a spiritual imposter. Honestly, the paper says a lot of people perform belief rather than live it. That struck me. And here's another central metaphor, the cave season. It's not a Batman reference, although, you know, I guess it could be. But in this context, it means a period of spiritual dissolution, like when your inherited frameworks just collapse. Instead of running away from that, the TPO approach sees this as an important threshold. You're supposed to sit in the uncertainty, not try to fix it right away. That's actually hard advice to swallow when so much in our culture is about fixing discomfort as fast as possible. Let's talk about the methods, because I know that's something listeners really are ask about. There's a four-phase healing model applied to the spiritual dimension. Te Tuahuatanga, Te Kawatitanga, Te Wakahuatanga, and Te Tuku. Basically, recognition of inherited beliefs, letting breakdowns happen, metabolizing or turning old pain into wisdom, and then finally integration or release. Each phase gives you concrete questions to work with, like naming your inherited God image or asking if you're actually bypassing pain with spiritual platitudes. You know, just pray about it, that sort of thing. What are the key takeaways for you? First, maybe it's that spiritual wounds are real and can deeply affect the way you relate to yourself, others, and your culture. Second, sometimes not fixing things right away, staying with discomfort, can be the most important part of healing. And third, the idea that secrets or shame don't always need to be aired publicly to be metabolized. There's a wisdom here that says sometimes healing happens privately, and that's totally valid. Totally random, but this reminds me of those times when you write a diary entry, tear it up, and throw it away. Somehow that feels like closure. But, you know, not everything needs to be for public consumption, which is kind of refreshing in this oversharing world. Anyway, if you're someone who's felt boxed in by shame, who's navigating identity questions, or who's juggling more than one spiritual tradition, this paper suggests that there is a structured, culturally aware path, at least according to its framework, for metabolizing all that tangled stuff. Of course, this isn't the final answer. Research is always ongoing. Even the author notes this approach has limitations and is most effective with genuinely engaged facilitators, not just anyone with a manual. So please remember, academic research isn't absolute truth. It's a tool for thinking, for exploring, for, you know, reflecting on what might work for you. Take what resonates, question what doesn't, and if you want to dig deeper, I encourage you to read the paper, reflect, and discuss. Thanks for sitting with this meaty topic on In Depth with Academia. I hope you leave with new questions, not just answers, and I'll see you next time. Stay curious, everyone.